Hello, it's Wayne Perry, the TV carpenter here. Can I ask you a question? Are you a DIY doer? Meaning, do you like DIY? Do you like fixing things in your home? Or does it frighten you and you'd rather somebody else did it, like your other half, or you paid somebody to come and do it? The reason I'm asking the question is, it's either one or the other. People don't realise anyone can be a DIY doer. And for me, when I say that, I don't mean the big jobs. I don't mean putting up shelves. I don't mean laying laminate flooring. For me, DIY is about having a safe house for you and your family. So when I say safe, knowing how the smoke alarm works and why does it beep, or knowing how to turn your water off if your house is flooding, or if the fuse trips and your electrics go out, knowing what all the buttons on the fuse board do. So that's a safe home. I think everyone should have that. Everyone should have a practical home, meaning everything should work as it should. So if your curtain tracks falls out the wall, you know how to put it on. Or if your toilet seat breaks, you know how to change it. But also, I think everyone should have a beautiful home, knowing what paint types to use, knowing how to upcycle some furniture. If you would like a safe, practical and beautiful home, let me teach you the DIY around it. All you need to do is join the DIY Doers Facebook group. You can find it on Facebook, or you can go to my website, thetvcarpenter.com, and I'll link you straight through to there. Let me help you create a safe, beautiful, and practical home for you and your family. On today's show, I'll be showcasing the last five episodes from season two. So this will include Sarah Michnell, who was the winner of the Great Interior Design Challenge, Emily Murray from Pink House Living, who's an author and stylist, Verity Coleman, the contestant from Interior Design Masters, Max Parker-Smith, who was a runner-up on the Great Garden Challenge, and finally my good friend Nick Snow, who is a TV interior designer. Hello and welcome to the TV Carpenter. My name is Wayne Perry. This is a podcast where I get to interview all my mates, all my friends who work in the world of interior design and garden makeover shows. I work in makeover shows, building, creating and assisting lots of amazing interior designers and gardeners. So I thought I would create a podcast where I could pick their brains and give you as many top tips so that you, the listener, can create your dream home. So this is a roundup week. So we're in between seasons. We're about to start season three next week. And what I like to do is in between is do a little bit of catch up of what happened the previous season. So we're going to be looking back at five of my guests and just picking out some of their gems, their little nuggets of information that they told me, so that we could have a recap and check them out. And this also enables anybody who's never listened to the podcast before to be able to, you know, have a little taste of what of the kind of things we chat about. But first, this week has been one of those insane weeks. I decided to do a whole new rebranding because of the podcast, which has become really successful. I'm so proud of it. I decided to consolidate all my different facets of everything that I do, all the different websites that I'm part of, and create one website called thetvcarpenter.com. And on that thetvcarpenter.com, you'll find links to my podcast, obviously, but also my private carpentry, my TV carpentry, and the DIY Doers, which is a free resource for anyone who didn't know. There's a Facebook group you can go on. It's a bit like Mumsnet for DIY, and you can ask any questions, and there's loads of videos and Pinterest and things like that. So it's full of lots of useful information, all free, that can help you. So that launched today, actually. As I'm recording this, we've just made it live. So if you want to contact me, that's the best place to contact me, is thetvcarpenter.com. The other thing that went live today is on the Ideal Home Show website. They've announced who my guests are on their new room set stage. So this is a new stage that's been created, and it's a revolving stage, and with all the, I think there's three interesting room sets where they're going to, they're all innovative rooms. But it will stop revolving and it'll become my home for the podcast. And I'm going to be recording live versions of this podcast live in front of an audience. You will get to hear the results of those recordings, obviously. But I'm really pleased to say that my first guest is my boss, Mr. Alan Titchmarsh. So I'll be interviewing him on opening day. He's opening the show and I think he's doing a few talks on the Super Theatre, but he's also going to be joining me for half an hour. Other guests, I've got so many, but I won't tell them all now, but you can go on their website and I will announce them on my website as well. But there, it's going to be... I've got the winner, Cassie, who we've had on the podcast before, and Zhu and Nikki Bamford-Bowes. The three of them will be on together talking about interior design masters. I've also got Michelle Agundin, the judge, head judge from Interior Design Masters. I'll be interviewing her. She's got a book coming out. So I'll be talking to her about her career and her new book that's soon to come out at the end of April. I've also got the 2LG Studio, two lovely gays who were on the podcast before. They've got a book coming out, so they're going to be on there as well. I've also got a few other guests that aren't 100% confirmed, but it's exciting. I can't tell you yet. They're not even on the website yet. But we've got some pretty cool guests lined up to be are recording on this podcast live at the Idle Home Show. So you can check out the guests, all the full guest lists on the idealhomeshow.com website. But first, it's time for my first guest. So my first guest on today was Sarah Michener. Sarah was the winner of the Great Interior Design Challenge, season 3, I think it was. She's lovely. And what's amazing about Sarah is not only is she a phenomenal interior designer, but also she started out as a garden designer. So she's one of the very few people who can do gardens and interiors, and pretty much most of her jobs she's hired because she does the inside and outside space. And she shares with us how she manages to design both gardens and interiors. So you see all these amazing like interior design programs. So these, you know, people will have an extension, and the famous one, you'll have a big double extension at the back with bifolding doors that open out onto the garden. And that happens all the time. We see it all the time. So what are the rules? Yeah. Like you come in when you look at that space, and especially in London, or, you know, everyone has that. They have that dream, they've watched Grand Design, that dream of outdoor, indoor living, and it's connected with the outside. But like you say, they stop at both ends, you know, within the middle. Never should they cross, but they want to achieve that. What are the rules to create that?
The amount of times that I've seen these beautiful bifold doors and then the photographers that are trying to take photographs of them can't because the garden beyond is a shambles or something like that. Oh, it drives me mad. What are the rules? I mean, the rules are fairly similar to interiors in that, you know, it's all about understanding how you want to use the space. And if you do it cleverly, then you can extend your living space outside and extend that sort of vision. And then the rest of it is sort of set building, isn't it? Uh-huh. You know, it's creating that vibe that you want to create.
Yeah.
But the majority of it really is understanding how you want to use that space and then getting the most out of that space.
So, like, I've seen it before where people would make sure the levels are the same, so it's like a continuous space, but also that the floor materials, would you say they should be similar?
Yeah, we do quite a lot of that, actually. Trying to run the materials inside and out can be tricky because of the different sort of needs of an outside material. So, you know, we work a lot with stone.
Yeah.
Or creating really thoughtful thresholds so that you've got a really beautiful material ending and then another one beginning. So if you're designing an extension with an inside out, if everything from the floor up, being really thoughtful about the materials and how they marry,
yeah,
and how they flow, that's a really good style.
Yeah. And colour-wise, do you try and match up the flowering aspect of things so it matches the colour, in, you know, inside the house, so the colour palette's the same?
No, not normally. I mean, what I do try and do is, say, for instance, you have a really, it's more about the feel, I suppose. So if you have an uber-modern house, then having an uber-modern garden can feel quite heavy. Uh-huh. So what I try to do is create a balance. So say, for instance, inside is very industrial, then often outside there might be areas of wildflower or more organic planting, just to soften what's happening inside. But you can do that in a really modern way now.
That's amazing, though, because I would never have thought of that. It's interesting. It's like in my head, I would have gone, well, if I've got this uber modern glass extension, then my external needs to be as harsh and as hard as the inside. But actually, you're saying to counterbalance it a little bit, to soften it off a little bit.
Yeah, and it depends on the age of the property. So often I'm working on older properties and they're putting really modern interiors into them, or they're sort of updating the period features inside, and it's just creating a balance. There's a beautiful flow that happens if you can see the inside and the outside working together. So if you were just working on a room, for instance, as a designer, I guess you're constantly trying to adjust areas so that it's got a really good balance and a really lovely vibe. If you add the garden in, then you're extending that vision.
As spring is approaching, you probably will have noticed there's quite a lot of interior design books coming out. And it was really lovely for me to interview a lovely lady called Emily Murray. She's actually a neighbour. She lives around the corner from me. And she has a really cool Instagram account called Pink House Living. And she's got a book of the same name. And at first glance, you would go, I won't be interested in this book. But she explains the book and the reason why she chose pink and the whole process of creating a house using pink. And I think she explains it perfectly when she summarises her book in this next clip. Tell me a little bit about your book. So do you go through each room and how it works on how to use pink?
Yeah, partly. I mean, to be honest, the whole pink thing, although there's a lot of pink in my life, this book isn't really about pink. And neither is my account, in a sense, or my blog. It's about the concept of what pink means to you. And as in, pink is my joy, is my way of having fun. But, you know, it's not like I'm trying to push it down anyone's throat, although, of course, it attracts people who love it too. Yeah. But no,
it doesn't put people off. Because a lot of people, you know, back then would hate pink. Mm. But actually, pink's got a resurgence now. Yeah. You know, and it's kind of subtle. Pink is like the new grey. They're using it as their base colour, you know, for when they, you know, if instead of white, they'll do a pinky white. You know,
yeah, it's a neutral in many ways, and actually, yeah, so that's why it can come in many ways, but you can almost substitute any colour. But in a way, like, for me, pink's fine, but I mean, I'm going to get bored about talking about pink, you know, after about 5-10 minutes. Mm-hmm. But it's nice to have something as sort of underpinning it all. But I guess what this is just my way of telling my story of decorating, of the projects that I've done, and the little stories behind them, because I think, in a way, because this is kind of the book of the Instagram, book of the blog, book of the Instagram, the stories, the accounts, the feeds that I most enjoy on Instagram are those where there's a real human story behind what's been going on. Because interiors by themselves can get a bit like, know, just pictures, you're just looking at pictures and pictures of room. You've got, there's a human life there. And so this is the story of how I got my sofa bed stuck, you know, halfway out the window, and how, you know, my mum had to sew it all back up again, and how I had to repeat the process because once we moved house, we had to, like, re-saw it, you know, and then I buggered off to Marbella because I didn't want to watch the experience. But this is the stuff that anybody who's ever tried to decorate a home in any way will know, that there's so much that goes into it. And it's to do with the logistics, it's to do with the human relationships, it's to do with, I don't know, finding what you, kind of looking inside yourself and saying, what is it that I really am? Because if you're surrounded by a home that doesn't make you happy, then it's just not great. But if you do manage to tap into those things that kind of make you go, wow, then you're onto something really special. Yeah. So it's really about that. It's about yourself. It's about your relationships.
Who would you buy this book for if you buy it as a gift?
I think it's a good book for either. I mean, when I had a few different targets in mind when I wrote it. One was a book for somebody who has just bought their first home or moved home and is looking for some ideas and inspiration and a kind of a bit of a laugh as well. In a slightly the way you've had a baby, someone might buy you a book that's kind of supposed to make you feel like, have a laugh, but give you some ideas and make you feel like, oh yeah, someone else is going through that too. Mm-hmm. But the bonus of this book is that hopefully people will think, oh, it just looks lovely lying around anyway, uh-huh. even if you don't open it. Or people to buy for themselves if they just love colour and they want to think about new ways of using colour. Or in a way, it's for somebody who enjoys reading kind of fun magazines, because I feel like with my magazine writing and editing background, this, I feel like I've created a bumper magazine, which is supposed to be entertaining, with lots of sort of helpful tip bits, but with the kind of, I don't know, the sort of entertaining aspect as well.
Yep.
So this book should make you laugh, and it should make you think, oh, that's a good idea.
It was really interesting when I actually brought that book home after having the interview with Emily. I left it around and my wife found it. And, oh boy, she loved everything in it. And so we're in the middle of deciding how to do our bathroom. At the moment, it's going to be pink. But I don't mind, actually. It's rubbing off on me. It's looking all right. My next guest is Verity Coleman. Now, she was one of the contestants on Interior Design Masters. She only got to episode 3, which is a real shame because she is a real talent. She's a brilliant businesswoman and she's an amazing interior designer. And we had a little chat and we touched on the subject of the benefits of employing an interior designer and how sometimes it's quite hard to quantify the cost and, you know, even just hiring a professional, because sometimes you don't physically get anything. But actually, by having an interior designer there or having a professional tradesperson there who can offer advice, actually can save you money and come up with some really interesting and cost-saving ideas.
People don't necessarily know what interior designers can do or what the cost is or anything like that. And it's traditionally always been, you know, the habit of people with lots and lots of money. But yeah, actually, having an interior designer can really save you money in the long term, especially with everyone doing lots of renovations.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing it all the time and we're around it, you know, I can tell clients, oh, you need to be careful that this is happening. For example, you know, your floor's running all the way through. Otherwise, you're going to find when it's built, there's like a step in the middle of that room that you didn't really want.
Yeah.
And, you know, what people see on, I mean, I'm sure you find what people see on drawings isn't necessarily what they have in their head.
Yeah. Exactly. They can't translate it. They can't visualize it. Yeah.
Exactly. And it's very easy for all of us working in it, the day-to-day, and trades and designers and architects, to look at a drawing and understand it. And you kind of assume most people look at drawings every day. When, of course, if you're a residential client, if you're home, you may never have seen a drawing before in your life.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I think clients are scared to say, oh, I don't really know what that is, or I don't know what that looks like, because everyone else is just like, oh, yeah, that's cool, but yeah, that makes sense.
And it's brilliant, because so, it's those tips, like I do it when I'm doing private carpentry. They'll go, yeah, I want these bookcases and I want 6 shelves. I went, well, I can put 6 shelves in, but you're not actually going to have any space to put anything on it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Or, you know, I want drawers in a wardrobe. It'll piss you off every time you have to open 2 doors to drag a wardrobe to do a shore at. You know, and I end up talking myself out of work, but then actually what happens is they then come back to me with the bigger jobs, because then I've been honest. I've been like, buy an IKEA unit and we can pimp that up, rather than you spend a fortune me doing that, which won't buy you any more space.
And we're the same sometimes. You know, we go into house and say, oh, we definitely need new curtains. Uh-huh. And I'll say, it's not the curtains, it's the wall colour.
Yeah.
Change the wall colour and those curtains will look absolutely perfect.
Uh-huh.
And lo and behold, it is. But I think, yeah, you pick up things, don't you, with experience. And you it is the same kind of problems that people have. It's just, unless you're seeing all the solutions all the time in other projects, you can't necessarily apply them back.
Yeah.
And I think people underestimate the value that someone with experience in the, you know, in the work can have on their projects. And it's not always finite, you know, it's not as easy as, you know, a product. When you go into a shop and buy a product, people understand what they're buying, but when you buy a service, it's a bit different.
I'm so fortunate, because every show I do, I get to meet some really cool, talented people. And I don't think I'm old. I'm 42. But when you see someone, you know, who's, you know, in the early 20s and who's smashing it in their chosen career, it's really inspiring. And there's always something to learn from them. So I did a garden show called The Great Garden Challenge for Channel 5. It was a gardening competition to find the best new garden designers. And I worked a lot with a guy called Maximilian. And I interviewed him a couple of weeks ago, and he was the runner-up. He was the finalist in the show. He didn't quite win, but I built for two of his gardens, and I just really loved his fresh approach. And when we were chatting, he touched on the idea of not just designing a garden because it's beautiful, but because it gives the people who are in the garden something back. So particularly in workspaces, and how it can be have some amazing health benefits. So this is Max talking about the health benefits of the gardens that he designs.
I was going to ask you about trends and things, because, you know, you're a young designer. Like you say, your gardens are constantly evolving, and things that you did years ago, you probably would move on. And I'm the same with carpentry. I approach things differently from what I used to do a few years ago. At Chelsea this year, I couldn't go. I couldn't get a ticket. It's like such as you can't even get in there. What trends did you see that have inspired you and you're interested to put into new gardens this year?
Well, okay, so it was very obvious that it was going back to the more naturalistic style and trying to be slightly more sustainable, use native plants, native trees, which I'm certainly, you know, a pro at.
Uh-huh.
I suppose it is, what I really did like was seeing plants that aren't, you know, typically at first, like when you look at them straight away, they're not the most beautiful plants ever, but it's just like when you start looking at, you know, into further detail and giving them a chance, and you see what like wonderful things they are.
Uh-huh.
I think the tendency was to always, you know, there was very much a Chelsea planting, which, you know, there would be lots of lavenders, bronocastrians, or lupins,
uh-huh,
lots of geums and geraniums and everything. They're beautiful plants. But what I kind of like is the ones that are kind of like understated.
Yeah.
The ones that might sit in the background. Those are the ones I'm potentially more interested in, just because you don't see them everywhere.
No.
But also, I do think there's a real connection that we have when things are done naturally. You know, like it really, you know, you'll be walking through a field and you'll be at your most calm. And I think having a naturalistic style, at least like a little space in your garden, does wonders for, you know, your mentality and your emotions. And so I think for your well-being, it's great to have, you know, like a naturalistic area.
Because, it's interesting you said that, because on your website you talk about the rooftop garden at Pall Mall, and you added rosemary because it adds texture and it's a healing fragrance for the employees to enjoy. And that's quite a lovely statement. I was like, so do you plant with the well-being in mind rather than it just looking pretty?
I think it almost is your responsibility to, as a gardener or a garden designer, to instill these things in gardens and people's lives, because, you know, I don't think a designer's job is just to make things look nice. You know, we have a duty of care to bring certain things to people and to be sustainable and conscious of people's well-being. But I think that's kind of something I'd like to do, you know, throughout my whole career, is it's not just for aesthetics.
Yeah.
There's so much more to it than that.
When you discover somebody on Instagram, so you decide to research them because you'd be interested in having them on the podcast, and you see on their website their strap line is fabulously flamboyant with a sprinkle of sass, there's no question this guy has to come on the podcast. He's absolutely brilliant. He's called Nick Snow. His interview just had me laughing for days. This guy was brilliant, and I remember him throughout the whole time Interior Design Masters had been shown. He'd be doing live feeds on Instagram about like a running commentary of the show, which went down really well, and we discussed that quite a lot. But we had a really good chat, and it was really nice. Just he was exploring the idea of, if people are quite conservative in their choice of interior design and how he manages to push them and push their boundaries a little bit, and the little tips and tricks he uses to encourage them to get more colour into their schemes. But he does it in such a brilliant way, and he shared this with us last week. Interestingly, you talked about that whole, you know, pushing their boundaries. So, you know, without naming names, you've got 20 houses, you've got 20 clients that you're making over. And I see and I hear this a lot with interior designers, that they'll meet the client and they'll go, I want to be bold, I love colour. And then all of a sudden, they lose their bottle and they kind of end up going back to grey. Do you know what I mean? And like, they'll have a cushion.
Yeah.
How do you coach and how would you inspire somebody to be? Because if you look on your grid, I think before we even, I was aware of you doing the Instagram, I think I commented on one of your rooms because it was blue and it was shocking blue. I loved it. My house is full of blue. So I think that's a theme that runs through your grid. How would you coax somebody into using colour into their interiors?
Well, I think, you know, ultimately paint can be painted over, and that's what, you know, that's what I try to kind of start off the conversation with and say, you know, what is the worst that can happen? And for me, I can work with any colour, but it's all about the accessories you put into a space. So you could walk into a room and have, you know, a really hideous sort of magnolia on the wall. But if you use the right accessories and the right pops of colour tonally throughout that space, then you don't notice the fact that the magnolia is there kind of in the background looking horrendous. But, you know, so for me, colour, I love using pops of colour with accessories because those are things that can be changed. So if somebody's scared of painting a wall green or painting a wall orange, then I think, right, okay, if I'm really not going to get that far with them, how can I bring in some colour elsewhere? So whether it be on the curtains, whether it be in a rug, whether it be on an accent chair. So, and then I think people, if they're really nervous about using colour, they come around to the fact that actually having some really vibrant cushions, it's just about almost spoon feeding them and at the start. And I like to kind of then, when I'm dressing the spaces, bring in a few bits of my own that I've kind of brought along without them knowing, to kind of pop in there just so to see what their reaction is and see what they think about it. Because actually, once a room starts coming together, you can then really start to understand why those decisions were made.
So
I think it's difficult sometimes. A lot of people are scared of colour. Some people like to use it differently. You know, you've got like Lucy Tiffany, who is totally bold with it and it looks amazing, and Sophie Robinson. And then you've got some people that, you know, like to use it in a more sort of elements of different pops of colour, I suppose. And pops of colour is used quite a lot in the industry. But I think it is one of those things that really helps enhance a room. It's different personalities, really. It can be quite tricky, but sometimes they resort back to quite neutral interiors. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think, you know, the Scandinavian neutral woods are very in right now, and they can look, with the blacks and the whites, can look just as beautiful as a colourful interior.
Yeah. How you're doing these 12, you know, I work in TV shows and I'm creative, and sometimes, because on your grid, for example, you've got a very distinctive style, like I said, it's very blue, very pops of orange, very vibrant. How are you trying to make all of these 20 rooms look like they're not the same? You know, is that a challenge for you at the moment?
Well, you know, I think that comes with just years of experience, because I cannot make every single room look like how I would do it, because it would just be 20 blue and orange rooms with some velvet thrown in there. So, you know, for me, it's about ultimately finding out about, like I mentioned about being a therapist, about finding out about the homeowner, is then about understanding. You know, there are so many different trends out there and different styles that you can go down. So I, through years of kind of styling magazines and also teaching interior styling, so I have to be quite adaptable. You know, I think that my Instagram is quite personable to me and my own style, but then when I'm styling for other people, that's not necessarily how I would approach their rooms. Or though I do like to put in blue where I can because I just love it and everyone needs a bit of blue in their lives. So, yeah, it's one of those things, isn't it, where it can be tricky with people when they're nervous, but I just think, right, if they're not going to be, they're going to be too nervous to use colour, then why not make a statement through sort of neutrals and just make something a bit more elaborate? I just, for me, I'm not really a fan of boring, sort of bland interiors, which I don't think any of us are who are quite in the industry, but I just like to see something of them and a bit of their personality, I suppose.
There we are. I hope you enjoyed the takeaways from season 2. It's been really lovely looking back and seeing and listening to some of the conversations that I had along the way. Season 3 is about to begin, so I'm in preparations for it. It's really crazy. It's kind of, I'd say it was started off being a bit overshadowed by the whole Ideal Home Show guest list kind of thing. I was trying to get the guests for that and people who were available and wanted to be on the main stage at the Ideal Home Show and talk in front of an audience. But then I had a handful of potential guests who said, you know what, I don't want to do the live shows, but I'll come and have a chat with you, or we'll do some telephone interviews. And I've actually pre-recorded a few already for season 3. And they're pretty epic. There's some really cool guests. So I'll be mixed. Season 3 will be a mixture of the live shows and will be some pre-recorded ones as well. So you get to hear them all by listening to the podcast. You can now, don't forget, you can leave me messages on my new website, thetvcarpenter.com. And leave me a message there. Check out the website on there. Don't forget to leave reviews and subscribe on iTunes. All of those things help more people find us. And if you enjoy listening to this show, just tell other people about it. I look forward to starting season 3 with you. I've got some exciting news coming up then as well. Hopefully we can tell you all about that with some new TV stuff that's happening. And yeah, I can't tell you that yet, but I'll hopefully be able to tell you next week. And all that's left for me to say is thank you for listening to The TV Carpenter.